At the T-minus 3 minute mark, tape recorders on board the spacecraft were turned on. These recorders record both voice and data.
We have ignition sequence start. The engine is now building up to 7.7 million pounds of thrust. We have a launch permit and we have a liftoff. Moving back. Saturn V lifting off of power.
You are listening to Rocket Shop Radio Hour. I'm your host, Abby BK, and with me tonight is Trevor Robinson. How are you doing, Trevor?
I'm good. How are you?
And Trevor traveled all the way from Bellows Falls.
It's true. Beautiful Bellows Falls.
How often are you here in Burlington?
Not very often. Maybe a couple of times a year.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And is this your first time in this space?
In this space, it is my first time, yes.
Very exciting. Well, welcome. I feel like it's a maze of interesting things in here, so hopefully you've settled in.
I'm pretty settled, yeah.
But we love to kick the show off with a song, so what have you got for us?
This is a song I wrote on the last day of January. I don't think it has a name yet, but I've been playing it out, because what else do you do with a song? So, I'm just gonna get into it. Trees were all frosted, the thermometer fell down, and I thought I'd make a soup with whatever was around. The potatoes had sprouted, the onions were in bloom, chopped them all up anyway, looked around the room, found a carrot that was softer than a carrot ought to be, half a head of broccoli. And a couple of frozen peas, February. Peeked in through the window. And you turned on the Nintendo. Princess is always getting trapped inside of castles. In the dark dungeons of winter, just surviving is a hassle. I turn up the heat at the last of the broth. Spilled some on the counter, wiped it up with a cloth. I will see to it that we have something warm to eat. You will make sure Mario does not accept defeat. February is a war of attrition. You need sustenance, not ammunition. Steam rose from the pot, kissed the kitchen ceiling, rolled over toward the doorframe where the paint is always peeling. A soup is something greater than the sum of simple parts. Love is so much larger than the size of human hearts. I will get the bowls, dip the ladle, and pour. You will reach the end, world 8, level 4. February is a place hope goes to die, but not for us. We've got two lives, you and I, you and I, you and I.
Off with the first one, I guess no name yet, but I love that you're talking about soup. Are you a soup fan? Do you have a favorite type of soup? I have to ask that question.
There's a soup that I make at home quite often that it's like butternut squash that I roast and like coconut milk and curry.
Oh, that you know? Sounds so
cilantro,
good.
Cilantro, lime juice at the end. It's like totally. So simple and like really satisfying.
Yeah. So what do you think your like inspirations were for that song?
I don't know. Like, I think in my experience, the songs that I really like tend to sort of just show up basically fully formed, you know? You kind of sit down. Like, I was playing, this was like a, maybe like a Wednesday, and I was playing somewhere on Saturday, and I just was like strumming chords, and like, there it was, pretty much entirely as is. So I don't know that, like, I don't typically ever like sit down and say, I'm going to write a song about this thing, you know? And if I do, it's usually bad and it doesn't work. And I spend a lot of time on it and it's like, usually pretty, pretty underwhelming, the final results, you know, but you just got to show up and like, keep the antennas up and strum around a bit. And I think like the good things kind of arrive.
Totally.
Is my experience anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you definitely have a natural knack for storytelling for sure. Mm. How often do you find yourself writing songs? Like, how frequent does that inspiration come for you?
I mean, I write songs kind of all the time. Yeah. So I would say, like, I don't know. I write a lot of bad songs, you know? Like, I'm writing most days, I would say, something. Like, I do other things that aren't, like, songs with words or whatever. So I'm, like, making music of some variety pretty much every day. And I think there are, like, sometimes you'll hit, like, a fertile vein where you're, like, writing song, or me, where I'm writing songs, like, with some consistency. So maybe, like, a couple in a week feels pretty, if you can get two or three in a week, that feels pretty good.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I don't like, I also don't do a ton of like editing. I'm not super precious about like recording quality or any of that stuff. I'm kind of like much more into like the act of, like the moment of inspiration is the thing that's cool for me. Like, I don't think there's anything that's better than when like the song shows up and you just catch it right there. And like, that's the most exciting thing. And everything else that happens is sort of like a byproduct of that.
Gotcha.
And
I like that philosophy. Mm. So in terms of like, you obviously play guitar, but you mentioned that there are other forms of music that you do. What are your other kind of genres that you do if you're not just doing kind of the singer-songwriter style on guitar?
Yeah. I don't know, like more experimental things. I do, you know, I do things on like synthesizers and with field recordings. I'll do some sound collage-y stuff. I play a little bit of like free improv with pal Johnny Gifford down in Southern Vermont from time to time. Yeah, like a lot of different stuff, like whatever, you know. I'm sort of just keen on like, I like to live my life in a way where I'm like making stuff and engaging in like creative activities because it feels good. So like, you know, like I was trying to learn how to play clarinet and I'm not very good. I played like when I was a kid, right? And then I set it up and hadn't played it in a long time. So I've like been messing with that. I do, yeah, whatever, you know?
Yeah. How do you feel like those maybe like other sounds trickle into what you do naturally write on guitar? Do you feel like having other outlets for music inspire each other?
I think maybe more so now. For a long time, it was like I pretty kosher, like milks and meats separate, you know, like one, they did not cross paths. It was like the songs on the acoustic guitar were songs on acoustic guitar, and like the other stuff was other stuff, and never the twain shall meet. Just because like I couldn't figure out like a natural way to do it. But I feel like they're more, I think what, actually honestly, it's funny we're doing this because this is a really bad example of, but like typically they're most intertwined. Like if I play out live, usually I'll play like electric guitar and I'll have some doodads and like the effects and like the loopers and stuff, and it's quite a bit noisier. And they're, because I'm not super precious about the recordings, like I said, I think in my mind the songs are kind of like the chords and the words, and then anything else can happen. Especially if you're like playing them, they get to sort of like be new every time, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So that's where they influence each other, is like playing out, I think.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Interesting. And in terms of your songwriting process, you said that, you know, it kind of just like comes to you. Do you find that you typically like fiddle around on guitar first, or do you kind of have like a concept in your brain that you then translate? Like, what comes first for you in that process typically?
Like, it happens at the same time. Like, I write playing guitar. I will strum chords and sometimes something will come across my path that will feel like it's a song, you know, you'll read something or see something and just it's like a feeling, like a physical feeling, like, oh, that's a song, you know, and you're like, get the guitar and kind of figure it out. So that's how I do it. I sing and I strum the chords until the song is finished, usually. As I try to get it all kind of like in the, as much as I can in the moment where it shows up. And then maybe go back and do some tightening of the screws, or maybe the next day finish some stuff. But I have found if I'm also that, you know, if it's taken more than a couple of days, usually it's not good, is kind of what I'm thinking. Yeah, I can just, it's like, I could tell I'm like working, if I have to work on it that hard, it's maybe not that good, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, other people have other, I wouldn't say people should not work on things, but for me, that's, you know, yeah.
I mean, you have to have your own flow.
Yeah, you just got to know when it feels like the thing that you're trying to do, you know what I mean? When you're being true to what feels like the thing you're trying to do.
Yeah. So in terms of, you mentioned collaborating with some other musicians. Do you feel like that process kind of stays true even when you're writing or collabing with someone else? Or do you feel like that kind of flow or process changes up? What does that look like for you?
I don't really write with other people songs. That's just, I haven't done it. I don't know that I would want to, but not, you know, maybe that would be fun. I should be more open-minded about that. But, when I play with other people, it's usually, you know, it's pretty improvisational. Johnny Gifford is a great example. I play with him. He joins me sometimes. On my songs, he'll play saxophone and bass and guitar sometimes. And we will also play together and just jam it out from time to time. And that's usually pretty unrehearsed. It's pretty cause my thing is I trust Johnny. I have played with him. I think he has good taste. I believe he will make good decisions that I think are cool. And so I just let him do that. And I think those are, and anybody that I play with, that's kind of the way I like it to be, is that just they're a friend of mine and I think they're cool and they do cool things. And so why would I want to tell them what to do or whatever? So they can just do their thing, you know? And then it's that's fun for me. Yeah.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Allowing that creative freedom to blossom in front of you, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I only have so many ideas. Do you know what I mean? I'm much more interested in somebody else's ideas. You know, I already had all my ideas. I have the chords and the words, and that's my ideas, basically, you know, I guess. Yeah.
I love it. Well, we'd love to hear another song. So what have you got for us?
Yeah. This is a song. This is called True Cult of You. KVLT, the black metal cats spell it on the message boards. You can stop yelling. I mean, I'm right here. This is a pretty small kitchen. I can hear you just fine. You're really angry. That much is clear. But I think we both feel better if you put down the knife. All strung out on meth, and we don't have any money.
I don't think the answer is stabbing somebody. Why don't you just sit down? Let the storm pulsate. And I won't tell anyone. If you happen to cry, put new spikes on your jacket. I'll touch up your corpse paint. We can listen to your cassette of a blaze in the northern sky. We've got these black metal hearts and no hope to recover. Being eaten alive by this Transylvanian hunger. It sucks to be 17 years old. The winds of Oslo blow cold. Don't always know how I feel about Satan or whatever. I think what I like about sin is that we do it together. We've got these black metal hearts and no hope to recover. Being eaten alive by this Transylvanian hunger.
Trevor Robinson there. So I would love to talk to you more about your recent album, So Every Word Was True.
Oh, yeah.
So you just recently released that. So take us through what that was like and your inspirations for your current release.
It was like I put it on Bandcamp. So I throw some files. I'm pretty loose about the... releasing things, I guess. I mean, what it was like was that, when did I put that up? January? It would have been sometime in January. And so I probably wrote all those songs in December into January. And then when I had when it felt like I had however many songs it was and it felt like a thing, I was like, cool, throw it up. And that's pretty much my approach to it. I'm not too, I really would like to, if I was courageous enough, I just wouldn't do releases at all. For a long time, what I would do is I would just do CDRs and I would just leave them places, or I would just show up when I had 10 minutes worth of songs I liked, I would just go to an open mic and play them and then I'd never play them again. I'm very big into this sort of ephemeral thing. And I've slowly gotten sucked into this thing where there's an archive that is pretty much the Bandcamp page. But I hold strong in that there are some things that I will never record and put up there. That song doesn't really have a good recording that I just played. I think I'd like to keep some of the best ones for myself. Or not for me. I'd play them for people or whatever. But I'm way off the topic. What was that like? I don't know. I recorded some songs and I put them on Bandcamp. I usually, I try to stay pretty, pretty moving in that sense, because I don't want to I think there's a white noise ambient pressure to commodify the things you do in your life. Right. And I didn't, I don't love music for any sort of monetary reason, really. I just I write songs because I love songs. It's truly just a byproduct of like I find songs to be moving things. They mean a lot to me, and they're an interesting art form in that you can inhabit it fully physically. You know what I mean? Like, you can learn somebody else's songs and you can play those chords and sing that thing and have that experience in real time in a way that, like, you could paint a book, you could try to copy a Picasso painting, I guess. But it's probably not the same thing as, like, if you just play somebody's song, you know? And, but probably because of, like, my relationship to music is, like, I grew up in the later part of the 20th century into the 21st century, and music is a commodity, and that's how I consumed it. And so, like, I'm tied to the, like, you record songs and you put them on an album, and that's what you do with them, you know? And I would love to be cooler than that, but I'm not quite yet, you know?
So in terms of, like, that particular project, did you feel like there was kind of like an overarching theme that all of your songs kind of had in common, that you meshed them together? Or did you feel like it was more, these are all the ones that I've written, let me just release them all?
If there was a theme, they were kind of like the ones I'd written, but I was thinking a lot about, like, drones. Drones. I like music that's kind of like, that you would call, like, drone music, that's kind of like slow moving and stuff. But also, like, a lot of folk musics have, like, a drone as a, like an obvious one would be, like Indian classical music has a lot of droning. But, like, if you think about how, like, American blues music works, there's often the that's a kind of drone, right? That'll happen through, like, the, while they're doing the whole thing, you know, the thumb. Fahey's just, like, rocking the thumb. Lightning Hopkins is rocking the thumb, right? Fahey, John Fahey, is, like, really into that as, like, an idea. Anyway, so a lot of the songs have drone notes under them being played by one thing or another. Like, they'll just be, like, an F on a synthesizer or, like, a fifth, and then I just play the song over the top of the drone, you know? And so that's a connecting idea on that one.
Yeah. Do you think there's any, like, particular reason why they all have that element to them? Like, were you listening to, like, a certain type of music a lot or something? Or, and what are your, like, bigger music inspirations?
I was trying to learn Make Me a Palette on Your Floor by Mississippi John Hurt because I wanted to get better at finger picking. I didn't get very far on that, but it did get me thinking. And I do a radio show where I play one really long song on WOOL FM 91.5. And so there's often some droney component. So I just got, like, drone on the brain, you know, and that was probably where that came from. And I thought it was sort of funny, if, like, a funny thing to do. And most of my, like, I think most of my creative ideas start from a place of, like, wouldn't it be sort of funny if...
For the bit.
Yeah, just like, you know, I think that's as good a reason as any to do anything. It's like, if it's kind of funny to me, you know?
Yeah. So, like, who are your other, like, inspirations as musicians that you feel like have, I guess, always inspired your music, or as of late even, or with this particular project?
Yeah, there are some, pal over here asked me earlier, there are some people that, like, really early on, like the Mountain Goats, Daniel Johnston, early Sebadoh, were people that I heard that made me think, like I could do that, you know, like things recorded onto cassette, like really clearly just like a person in a room singing a song they just wrote felt really attainable. Like, I didn't think my songs were going to be that good, but, like, it's not like a monumental thing to do. It's like, I could turn my phone on and do that, you know? So those people, but John Prine is continually really inspiring in the sense that if I ever feel like I don't have, like, good chops, or I should have more chords in a song, I will listen to a John Prine song and it will be three chords and incredible. And I say, well, I don't, you know, if John Prine doesn't need more three chords, then neither do I. So him, I like the idea of just being, like, inspired by stuff that's, like, you know, I'm hoping that I'm writing songs that are like my songs, mm-hmm. you know, but, like, you know, I go to a lot of shows. I like a lot of music. I like to just, like, I like to see somebody do a thing that makes me think, like, oh, anything is possible. Like, you don't have to do rules or whatever. Like, you go see some kind of out music or an improvisational thing that makes me feel like inspired to do a thing because I just can. And hanging out with my friends. Yeah, that's the other thing.
Totally. Yeah. So in terms of like the like production process for, I guess, mm-hmm. any of your releases, I know that you said you're kind of more go with the flow with all of these things, mm-hmm. but like, what do you typically do? Do you record mix master yourself? Do you seek out additional help, record in studios, et cetera?
I record at my house on a 4-track pretty much. And then I bounce that onto, I have a 4-track cassette recorder that I like. I'm comfortable with it. It works in a way that like that system works for me. Mm-hmm. And I will record onto that and then bounce it onto a computer. And I don't do much to it after that. That's it's kind of like on to the next thing. Like I said, I've tried to be a little more like involved in a recording thing, and it's just not like super comfortable for me or important, really. Mm. I don't just like the things that I find moving about songs don't hinge on that, really. There are songs where like I love like production choices and things like that, you know what I mean? But it's like, you know, I'm not a fidelity freak. I don't really care about like, it's, that's just not like not something I'm that worried about. What I like to do is just to be able to do it, to like, when I feel inspired to do a thing, I make it and that's it, and like I'm gonna do the next one, you know what I mean? So that's the process. 4-track onto the computer and move on.
Got it. Yeah. I mean, you've got your process down, so why change it?
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, maybe someday it will feel like it's not working anymore, and I'll do something else, but probably the something else will be simpler. It'll be like, why don't I not record anymore? I could just play this at my house, and that's even simpler.
Right.
You know, but then you don't get the, like the illusion that multi-tracking gives you, where like multiple things are happening at once, but you're just one person.
Yeah, I mean,
that's harder to do.
Without, totally.
Yeah.
Well, we'd love to hear another song. So, what do you have next?
This is a song. This is kind of about writing songs. I wrote this song and then I took a break for a while because I thought, like, if you're writing songs about writing songs, you should probably just go outside or like do something else. But I've been playing it a few different ways, so I don't know, I usually finger pick it, but I might strum it up a little today, we'll see how it sounds. Like to write the world's hardest acid house track with a bass line that would shake you to your knees. I'd dress in black and debut it at Berghain, where the fog's so thick that you can hardly see. A 4/4 kick and a snare that cuts right through you. A sample of an angel singing hallelujah. If I could write the world's hardest acid house track, I bet this loneliness would slide right off my back. I'd like to write the world's fastest D-beat punk song, strike fear in the hearts of corporate fascists. I'd hand out homemade cassette tapes that would turn your stereo to ashes. I'd speak straight to the souls of damaged youth with ethics that rang crystal clear and true. I could write the world's fastest D-beat punk song. Maybe then I'd feel like I belong. For now, I'll sit here and strum these chords till I find something real to say. I'll stare deep into the void of a blank page. Hope this uncertain feeling melts away. I'll keep my ear pressed tight to the ground. Wait to hear that certain sound. A sound to fill your heart and ease your fears. A sound to let you know I was here.
Amber Robinson. What was the name of that one again?
It's called I Certainly Don't Do It for the Money.
I Certainly Don't Do It for the Money. That was like the perfect segue based on what we were talking about before about making music.
Yeah, glad to deliver.
Well, I would love to talk more about, you know, performing and gigging around. So when did you start performing live and how has that been for you?
I don't know. Like, not with any regularity until a couple of years ago. Like, just, like I said, I would, like, kind of really sporadically do, like, an open mic thing. I was kind of into that move, but that was a long time ago. Like, 2019, I kind of started to, like, play out with some regularity. Yeah, I would say.
Do you find that you're kind of playing more local to where you live, or are you coming over here to Burlington at all or other places in Vermont?
I don't really come up to Burlington. I play kind of local. I bounce around. I like to play places that feel really comfortable. A lot of like places where like I have friends that like run the place or work there, or places where I like get invited by people I know. I don't want to like, that's usually the vibe. You know, I'll do other things too from time to time. I'll get the sort of like the delusional thinking that makes you want to like send cold emails to people or whatever, but I pretty quickly don't love that. And so, so mostly whatever that is what I do. Yeah.
And at most of those gigs that you're playing, are you playing the acoustic guitar, like this type of vibe, or do you kind of switch it up? Do you play your other?
I switch it up. Yeah, I usually, probably more often than not, it's like electric guitar and like maybe some doodads and like effects pedals or whatever. It's like the sleight of hand to make one person seem like a little more dynamic and engaging than just like, this is cool in small doses. Right, but I don't really have the chops. I'm no like Leo Kottke or whatever. I can't like keep people that engaged with just my guitar playing. I'll do just this if that seems like what's happening there, and some of the other stuff I'll do synthesizer things, some improv stuff at places, you know, that's happened and probably will again in the future. Yeah.
Sure. And any like future aspirations or goals that you have that you'd like to sort of like branch out and do, or anything new come to mind?
Like musically?
Yeah, musically.
I mean, like in my life, there's all kinds of stuff, totally. You know, right? But like musically, I don't know. I really want to sort of just like stay true to the idea that like doing, you know, like playing songs and writing songs really, and then playing them, because once you've written them, it's sort of like, it's almost like bad parenting to not play them, you know, like to not give them a little shot. I like to do that because it's just like it's the sort of life I want to have, is where like I'm engaged in like creative things that I find fulfilling. I'm not really interested in doing a lot of the things that that come along with music stuff. But I don't know. I just want to keep doing things and like playing songs with my friends, and I want to write better songs. You know what I mean? I think you can like I don't know about anybody else here, but like I'm often scared that like I wrote the last good song. Do you know what I mean? Like that I get I'll feel that if it's been a little while. You know, I'll write songs and I'm like, that's fine. Sometimes you just write a song to get to the next song, you know? But what I really want to do is just write some more good songs. Things that I feel good about, that feel like they say like a true thing, you know, about usually somebody else. but also me. I don't typically write super autobiographical stuff, but yeah. Writing good, making things that I feel good about is what that's my goal.
I mean, it's a great goal.
Yeah.
Staying authentic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, obviously you've been releasing music quite frequently. So do you foresee like releasing something new soon in the next like coming months?
Probably in the next couple of weeks. Yeah. I've been working on like, just like a really mellow synthesizer thing, like music to like water your plants to, you know, is like kind of like that's the like, if there's like a mood board in my head, okay. It's just like music to do chores to, and it's coming along and it's nice, and I'll probably pick about 25 minutes worth of the stuff I like and put it up, and then that'll be the next. I tend to sort of like latch on to an idea, you know, and like want to see that through, you know, and then the like collections of songs all kind of tend to have a similar vibe. And then between that, it's like very thematic, I think.
Gotcha. Yeah. Do you have like an idea for like a name yet? Or are you still kind of in the process of selecting what the vibes
for like
are?
The next thing?
Yeah, for the next
No,
thing.
The naming, I'm like really hesitant to name things until like at the very last minute. When I feel like the song shows up, like the name shows up too sometimes.
Gotcha.
You know? And like at the last minute, I'll just kind of like look around my house and start like flipping through the books and whatever, and you know, get the wheel spinning, and that'll be how I name it.
From soup to chores, we love.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, just really, I'm a pretty domestic guy, really.
Yes,
by and
totally.
Large. Yeah.
And do you have any like upcoming gigs as well that you could share with us to help promote?
I think the next one, I'm pretty sure it's just like in April. At Stage 33 in Bellows Falls, I'll be there. And after that, like May in Virginia, and I don't really remember the details about that one because it's a ways off.
Right.
Yeah. So no.
Not on the top of your
head. No, I don't. Yeah, I don't. Nothing coming up. Yeah. But that's cool. When I do, the people who are there will be there, and that'll be nice. That's kind of, you know, I think, yeah. Yeah.
Well, if you start to cold email anyone, let us know, and we'd be happy to promote any of your shows.
Great. I'll keep you posted.
Totally. Yeah. Well, we are nearing the end of the show, so we always like to give our artists the opportunity to really promote yourself. So if you'd like, share with everyone where we can find your music, follow you, support you best, et cetera, et cetera.
I mean, pretty much Bandcamp is the thing. I don't really do anything else. So it's my name, trevorrobinson.bandcamp.com. That's pretty much where the stuff is at. And then otherwise, like, we may cross paths in the wild, and that'll be nice, you know?
Lovely.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, we would love to hear your last song whenever you're ready for us.
Yeah, this is called New Paradigms in Healthcare Delivery, and it's about a polar bear. This is a real it's a bit of speculative fiction about a real polar bear that used to live at the Central Park Zoo. Got us really worried lately, Gus. Swimming in your pool all day long. You turn figure eights from dawn until dusk. We think we might know what's wrong. Do you ever feel penned in and not sure what to do? Well, Gus, sometimes we feel that way too. Have you ever heard of serotonin, Gus? It's a chemical that you make inside your brain. Sometimes a slight adjustment helps us. We think polar bears might respond the same. Everybody loves you at the Central Park Zoo. We just want to see your sad feelings moved. We only want what's best for you, Gus. So the experts have come up with a plan. We're professionals, people you can trust.
We're gonna give you all the help we can.
Trevor, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And you'll have to keep us updated if you, you know, release anything. And you're always welcome back for your next release or whatnot a few months from now. So
yeah,
keep us in mind.
Yeah, cool.
And listeners, this has been Rocket Shop Radio Hour. I'm your host, Abby BK. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be off the next couple weeks, but we will be back in March. But yeah, this has been Rocket Shop. Thanks so much for listening, and we hope you have a wonderful night. We'll see you next time.
All right.